the minig is mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, the widespread minig by most Ashkenazim is, outside of Eretz Yisrael, is that we only duchan on Yom Tovim. So that's why, because it's only rarely observed, so that's why a lot of people don't observe the mitzvah properly. So one of the dinim that's commonly violated, that the Rabbanim really have to educate the Balabatim regarding this, is that for the duchening, the Gemara learns out from a pasuk, you have to give the bracha, panim keneged panim. The Balabatim receiving the bracha have to be facing the Kohanim. A lot of the Balabatim are so concerned about not looking at the Kohanim's hands that they turn around, they turn their backs to the Kohanim. And many of the, even if in the men's section they don't do it, but in the women's section, for sure they do it. So the Rabbanim should really educate the Balabatim. Maybe even if you'll educate them, they'll know better than you. They won't listen, but at least you have to tell them that they have to face Kohanim Keneged Kohanim, they have to face the Kohanim. In the Shulchan Aruch, there are two opinions when the Kohanim, before the Kohanim start to duchen, so they face the Aron Kodesh, and then they turn around, out of Kavod Ashchina, and then they turn their backs to the Aron Kodesh, and then they face the Tzibur, in order that it should be Panim Keneged Panim. So the two opinions, whether they should turn clockwise or counterclockwise, which is the more correct way to perform the mitzvah. When you're going to do a mitzvah, so which way is considered leaning? So most follow the practice that you turn around clockwise, and others do counterclockwise. And then there's the three different minhagim. When do the Kohanim turn around? After they said the bracha? That's how the Rambam writes. First they say the bracha, and then they turn around. Or the Mechaber writes, no, they should turn around first, and then say the bracha when they're facing the tzibur. So it should be over lasyas, and should be over the over. And then the common practice is that turn around in the middle of the bracha when they say b'tzivan. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Achrayim that you should get all the Kohanim to synchronize this together. You shouldn't have half of the Kohanim are going to turn clockwise, half are going to turn counterclockwise, and one third of them are going to turn around before they say the bracha, one third are going to turn around in the middle of the bracha, and the other third are going to turn around after they say the bracha. You have to get all the Kohanim together in a huddle, and you have to make up, they should all make up peacefully, b'saroi. When are they going to turn around? In which direction are they going to turn around? Otherwise, it doesn't look nice. Out of Kavod HaMitzvah, they should all do it together in unison. Then the Gemara has strict dinim that are always violated by the Chazonim. The Chazon is not allowed to say Kohanim until the Tzibur finishes Amen, after Hatav Shimcha L'Chanor L'Hodos. So he shouldn't say Kohanim until they finish saying Amen. And then, by us, that's usually not a problem because the Chazan doesn't say Kohanim. He says, takes him a while till he says it. Usually, by us, it's not a problem. But in Eretz Yisrael, it's a problem when they have someone else scream out Kohanim. So a lot of times, the Rebbe's in a rush. He's going to scream out Kohanim before the Tzibur finished answering Amen. Then the Kohanim are not permitted to recite the Bracha, Shekirishan, Bikdashos, Shalaran, until the Makri, until the Shatz, calls out Kohanim. And then the Chazan should not call out Yevarech Echo before the Tzibur finishes. The Tzibur shouldn't say Amen before the Kohanim finish the Bracha. And the Chazan shouldn't say Yevarech Echo before the Tzibur finishes Amen. And then they're always on the rush. So they say, as the Kohanim are saying the next word, so the Chazan is already saying the next word, to lead them into the next word. So the Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch Belad, you have to go one word at a time. You shouldn't overlap on each other. This is a common violation that people always do it wrong. The Gemara has a din, as quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that in order to be qualified to duchen, we require that the kohen has to be oikar aglo b'avoida. He has to start walking towards the duchen by the time the chazan finishes the bracha b'avoida. The bracha b'avoida is the bracha ritzei. Asher v'savoida ledvir beisecha. So a lot of times you have a lot of people in the shul, a lot of kohanim in the shul, so they're all standing in the back washing their hands, and the chazan finishes amachse. What does he say? Amachse shchinas aletzion. Or usually they replace it with the bracha. Shos chalavat chavir anavoy. That's another question. Whether that's correct or not. The Vilna Gaon was opposed to that change of the nusach habracha. He says there's no mocker that we should change it. There is a mocker from the nusach habracha. That was the text of the bracha in the Beis Hamikdash. Shos chalavat chavir anavoy. But there's no source in halacha that you should switch the nusach habracha when you have duchening. Okay, so you have to find out what the minhag ha'makom is. Whatever the minhag ha'makom is, you should follow. So the din is that the Chazan shouldn't finish unless all of the Kanim have already begun walking towards the platform where they're going to Duchan in the front. Then the Gemara has another din. What if you happen to have a shul where there's only one Kohen? So a lot of the Chazanim figured out the din on their own. When you have two or more Kohanim, so you scream out Kohanim in plural. You only have one Kohen, so you scream out Kohen. So the Talmud Yerushalmi has such an opinion, quoted by the Tosfos on the Daf in Zoita. But it's not accepted la'alocha. The accepted opinion is that if you only have one Kohen, so you don't scream out anything. You don't call out Kohen, you don't call out Kohanim. Why? What is that all about? So Tosfos claims that the biblical obligation to Duchen is only if you have two or more Kohanim, because it says, Kosvochas b'nei Yisrael, Amor lohem, and Amor, the Pshuter shel Mikra, Amor lohem, the Kohanim should tell the Tzibur. But the Chachamim gave an additional level of interpretation to the pasuk that Amar Lahem means when the Chazan requests of the Kohanim, the Shliach Tzibur should be Amar Lahem to the Kohanim. So since Lahem is in the plural, so you need two Kohanim, a minimum of two Kohanim. If you only have one Kohen, so the whole Duchening is only Midirabbanim. They're not obligated to Duchen, so you can't be Mitzavah them. Kohanim is a Tzibur. We want you to give the Brach. They're not mechayiv if they don't want it, they don't have to. So that's the din of the Gemara, that if you only have one Kohen, you don't call out Kohanim. What's the din if the Chazan himself is a Kohen? We've had that for years here in Yeshiva. It's like, used to have Rabbi Sawa, used to be the Baal Musaf, he was a Kohen, and now we have Rabbi Shimon Kernan, he's a Kohen. So Shulchan Aruch it says that more correct is that a Chazan should not be the Shliach Tzibur when you're davening Musaf on a Yontif when there's going to be Duchening. But we have it. Okay. So what do you do when a chazan is a kohen? So the Mishnah has a takonim of the Rabbanan in Brochus around Daf Lamed Aleph or so, that if the chazan is kohen, he should not duchen because he's going to get all confused. He's going to have to walk away from the Amud and go to the front and say the duchen, then he's going to have to walk back and he has to remember the whole Shemana Esrei by heart. In the days of the Tanaim, they didn't permit the writing down of the Nusach HaTfilah. The Gemara says in Masechus Shabbos, in the beginning of Perik called Kisvei, that the Nusach HaTfilah was considered part of the Torah Shebal Peh, and just like it was prohibited to write down the Mishnayos, and to write down the Halachas, to write down the Gemara, so too it was prohibited to write down the Nusach HaTfilah. And then later, when they permitted the writing down of the Torah Shebal Peh, so it still took a long time, till the days of the God, until they wrote down the Siddur, and then it took even a longer time till they wrote down the Machzor. They could have written it all along, but it was against Allah, and they felt that it was not permissible because it's part of Torah Shavuot. And then they saw Islas Lashem. They saw that the Heter, that it's necessary to write down Torah Shavuot, otherwise it's going to be forgotten. So they realized that Heter is needed not only on the Halachas, it's needed on the Siddur, and it's needed on the Machzor as well. So in the days of the Tanaim, there would be a concern. The Chazan has to recite the whole Shemona Esrei by heart. So he has to go Duch, and then he has to go back, and he has to remember that he says Sim Shalom. So the Mishnah says, we're concerned that he may make a mistake, so we say he's not allowed to duchen. And even the Mishnah says, even if he's the only Kohen in Shul, and it means by his not duchening, you're just not going to have any duchening, Mishnah says, doesn't matter. That's a takonim der abonim. We're afraid that he's going to get confused. But then it says, the next line in the Mishnah, what if haftachosai shechoyze letfilosai? He knows for sure, he's an expert, zokim v'rogel, he knows the davening by heart, he's an expert, he's not afraid that he's going to make a mistake. So then we say, we do permit him to duchen. So that the Tosfos Yontif on the Mishnayos quotes in big machloikas, which is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch later. How do you read the Mishnah? The Mishnah says the Chazan should not duchen, even if he's the only kohen in shul. And by his not duchening, you're going to just miss. You won't have any duchening. Still doesn't duchen, unless it's haftachas. Unless he's batuach that he's not going to make a mistake. If he's batuach, he's not going to make a mistake. Then you allow him to duchen only if he's the one and only kohen in shul. Or even if they're another 25 Kohan, we're going to have the duchening anyway. So that's a major machlokes apost. So you look in the Mishnah Berurah, it's a rov of the poskim anoita to say that haftachos shechozil tefilosai, if he's sure he's going to go back by yos, it's always like that. We have a machzor, we have a siddur, so he knows he's not going to make a mistake. He's going to walk back to the beam, he's going to look in the siddur. In the days of the Tanoim, you can discuss, are you absolutely positive he's not going to make a mistake? Or you may get mevulbel because he has to hear the whole Shemana Esrei by heart. By us, what should I have to make a mistake? Everybody's the Kohanim are looking in a machzor. When they're duchening, they're also looking in a machzor. The Chazan, everybody looks in a machzor as siddur. So that's the big machlokes in the Shulchan Aruch. Most of the poskim say that the only time we allow the chazan to duchen, if he's sure he's not going to make a mistake, is if he's the only kohen and he's simply going to be missing duchen. If you have another 25 kohanim, he should not duchen. In Eretz Yisrael, they duchen every day. Many places in Eretz Yisrael, they duchen every day. Not all places. They duchen every day, so someone has yahrzeit, a kohen has yahrzeit. If you only duchen on Yom Tovim by Musaf, so then we understand what it means. Don't let a kohen be the Baal Musaf on Yom Tovim. Okay, let the kohen be the Baal Shachris. But you can't tell a guy, a kohen is an Avelis, and he's davening for an Amen every day. So what are you going to tell him? You should never daven for an Amen, because you can only daven Minchamar, you can't daven Shachris. That's not fair. So the common practice in Eretz Yisrael is all over the place, that if a kohen has a yahrzeit, that the kohen davens for an Amen for some reason or another, even if you have another 25 kohanim in the shul, he's going to duchen also. So you should really wash his hands in advance before. Some tzaddikim have the practice that in the middle of Chazor HaSashat, someone would wash their hands. More correct, it says in Shulchan Aruch, is that they should wash their hands before they start the Chazor HaSashat. Then the Gemara says, if the chazan is going to duchen, everybody has to be oka ragla, everybody has to start walking towards the platform in the front, in the middle of the, before he finishes the bracha of Machzor Shchinos HaDetzion, or Shosch Levat Chavir HaNavar. So the Gemara says, okay, the chazan is standing with his 2 feet together, and before, in the middle of the bracha ritzeh, he should take a step forward a little bit. Still standing by the omelet, but he should take another step closer to the omelet in order to be closer to where he's going to be. And then when it's time to duchen, he shouldn't say kohanim. Someone else is going to scream kohanim, so he has to run up over there and say the bracha with the others. And then after he finishes duchen, he has to run back to the bima. Okay.
He
stopped going up?
Yeah, he stopped a couple years ago.
Oh. I got it ready. I stand on the side, so I don't know. There is a big dispute in Shulchan Aruch that's quoted from the Maharil. The Mishnah in the end of Tainis seems to imply very clearly in the Talmud Yerushalmi, the end of Tainis points to that based on the Mishnah, that you only have duchening by Shachris. And Mincha and Tainis Tzibur is a machlokes hatanoim. In Ma'ariv there is no duchening. So how come there's no duchening by Ma'ariv? So the Rishonim say, many Rishonim say, there's no duchening by Ma'ariv because you don't duchen balayla. Because the pasuk makes a hekish, a comparison between Sharso ulevarach bishmo. That's in where was that? In last week's Sefer, Parshas Ekev. The Sharso. Then you have in the end of Kiseitze by the din of Egla Rufa. So it says, so you have two psukim where Levarch Bishmo to Duchen, to give the Brichas Kohanim, is compared to the Shorsa, Hakrovis Karbonis. So the Rishonim say that since there's no hakrabas hakarbanas balayla, so you're not allowed to duchen balayla. So in Frankfurt, that's what the Maharil records. This was the meaning all over the world, that you never duchen balayla based on the Talmud Yerushalm. In Frankfurt, the meaning was that ne'ila, they began ne'ila by yom and they finished ne'ila in the middle of the night. So they used to duchen by ne'ila even though it was in the middle of the night. So it's against the Talmud Yerushalm. So they say, no, the Talmud Yerushalm never gave that explanation. That's what the Rishonim said. The Talmud Yerushalmi simply means there's no duchening by Ni'i, there's no duchening by Myra because there's no Chazor HaSashatz. You only duchen at the conclusion of Chazor HaSashatz. There is no Chazor HaSashatz by Myra. If you're davening Ni'ilo and you're finishing Balailo, so the meaning of Frankfurt is that they do duchen. So if you're in Broyers, that's the meaning they will duchen. I remember for a few years I was the rabbi in a branch of Broyers in Paramus. So the first couple of years, they only had Kohanim there from Broyers. So they said that's their minig. They always duchen by, okay, so they duchen. After the third or the fourth year, they had another Kohen move in, who was also a Yekid, but he wasn't from Frankfurt. So all over the world, the minig was they don't duchen by Nehila, because it's finished in the middle of the night. But the Broyers people wanted to duchen. So I told them they should do a compromise. They should see to it that the Chazan finishes Nehila by Yom, before the Shkia, so the Kohanim will duchen bayom. And then we'll spend 45 minutes singing Avinu Malkeinu, and I'll give a drasha. So because it was a branch of Broyers, I used to go discuss every issue with Rabbi Schwab. So on Chalamay Tzukis, before Yom Kippur, he was too busy from a balabatim, a big shul, so the a lot of balabatim had a shayla. Are they allowed to fast? Are they allowed to eat? Do they have to eat? Do they have to fast? So he used to work on those shaylas. Dr. Muller, Rabbi Weiss, he teaches Yerideya. His father-in-law used to be the president of Broya Shul. He was a doctor, medical doctor. So I remember once I didn't feel well, so I went to his office before Yom Kippur. So every 2 minutes, the phone rang, and another balabas was asking, what's the din? So he had to consult with the different rabbis. Some of the balabatim were closer to Rabbi Broya, some of the balabatim were closer to Rabbi Schwab. So he had to remember which one. So he said, yes, I just spoke to Rabbi Schwab yesterday. He said, you have to fast. You have to eat. The other one had to say, I just spoke to Rabbi Breuer, and he said whatever. Each one had a different psak. I had to work out each case. That was one of my responsibilities. When I became the rabbi there in Paramus, in the Breuer's branch, that was one of the first shabbos that I had was, a woman had a condition, and she had to eat every day. It happened a few years later. 6 years later, she died from her condition. But she had to eat every day, so there's no shabbos. She had to eat. We'll get to talk about that later. The very first shabbos that I had was on Rosh Hashanah, when they daven mincha, so after Kiddusha, the chazan forgot to say, v'chein tein pachtecha, and he said, Baruch Atah Hashem, HaMelech HaKadosh, I forgot to say, v'chein tein pachtecha. So all the balabatim turned to me, what's the din? V'chein tein pachtecha is ma'akev anas. So I told him, it's not ma'akev, it's a piyut. It's not part of the davening, it's only a piyut. And then the second shayla that I had was, Yom Kippur, after this woman fasting, she died a few years later from her condition. Then the third shayla, the regular shayla, came once on a Friday afternoon. A woman called me up on the phone. She broiled the liver. She's pretty sure she forgot to salt it. She forgot to salt the liver when she broiled it. So in Yeriday, it says that salting the liver, melicha muetis, is only a chumrim. Yikiradin, if you broil the liver, you don't have to salt it. So that was kosher b'di'evet. So over here, when I spoke to Rabbi Schwab on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, I was bringing up all the different issues that came up. So I said that we had a Kohen move into the community, and he's not from Broyers. He was from a different shul from Washington Heights, and he never duchened balayla. So I told him what I did, that we had the chazan finish duchening mibod yom, and then we sang Avinu Malkeinu slowly, and then I held it Rosh. So he tells me that his father, Rabbi Schwab told me, his father was a balabas by Rabbi Hirsch, and that's what Rabbi Hirsch used to do. He didn't have them duchen after the shkia. He had them finish the duchening mibod yom, and they said Avinu Malkeinu line by line. They always say line by line Avinu Malkeinu. And then Rabbi Hirsch held a long drush until it was time for Myra. There was a long pause during which time he gave the drush. And he told me even that there's a famous poem written in German about the last drush that Rabbi Hirsch gave on the last Yom Kippur before he died. He didn't die Yom Kippur. He died, I think, December 31st or something like that. He gave his children instructions that at least the shul used to pay him a check at the beginning of the month. So he told him if he dies in the middle of the month, they should refund. So he died, or they gave him the money at the beginning of the year or something like that. So he's like a good yekker. He died the last day of December. So he didn't have to refund the money. And so they say when the yekker learns daf yomi, so he stops in the middle of the sentence. That's all. That's tomorrow's daf. So that's when Rabbi Breuer died, Rabbi Hirsch died the last day of the year. Didn't have to refund anymore. So that's what he told me, that this was Rabbi Hirsch's institution, that instead of duchening by line, so you have to figure out what the meaning in most places is that they don't duchen by nila. If you happen to have balabatim, who are yekis, if it's a yekis shul, sure, you got to see what you're going to do. Rabbi Beryl Wine, I happened to attend the rabbinical conference when I was in Eretz Yisrael this summer. So the first 2 days I attended a conference of Rabbanim from South Africa. So they're very fascinating speakers. And one of them was Rabbi Beryl Wine. So he said that one of his first Rabbanis, maybe his first Rabbanis, was a Yekesh Shul. So when it came time to Duchen, they take off their leather shoes and they all put on slippers. He had never heard of this before. He thought they were off their line. He was singing and dancing and screaming. And then he found out that was their minhag. So he said, before you start making a fuss, you got to find out what the minhag. That's what they do in Broyers. They all start covered at Tziba to walk up in your socks. You're smelling socks. You got to put on slippers. And you go, slippers are cloth slippers as opposed to leather slippers. Okay. They got to find out what the meaning of Malkin is. The Mishnah Berurah points out, okay, enough for the duchening. That's on every yontif. You have to see to it that they duchen properly. The Mishnah Berurah points out that there is a Mishnah in Brachas that usually never, the issue, the case never comes, usually never comes up. If it does come up, it comes up Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. There's so many piyutim in the middle of the davening, so sometimes the chazan loses his voice. Or sometimes just faint. He doesn't have the koyach to finish the whole davening. So the Mishnah in Brachas talks about Shliach Tzibur Shetor. The Chazan, and Mishnah means a different thing. Mishnah means he just doesn't remember he's Mavulbo because he doesn't have a Siddur or a Machzor. He has to recite the whole Shemana Esrei by heart, so he doesn't remember what comes next. And by us, so let's say the Chazan just can't, he loses his voice in the middle. So Shliach Tzibur Shetor, so the Gabbai should get someone else to take over in the middle. And usually, the Gemara points out on the Mishnah, when the Gabbai asks to daven for an omitzah, so the Derech Eretz dictates you should turn it down the first two times until he asks to. The third time that you should go daven for an omitzah, you should show that maybe you're not so worthy to daven for an omitzah. But if the first chazan got stuck and they need someone else, and that's not a time to make to stand on ceremonies, so the Mishnah says, lo yehei sarven bo'so shor. The one that the Gabbai asks to daven for an omitzah should not refuse, he should go right away. But then, where does he start davening from? So if the chazan left off in the middle of a bracha, so the new chazan doesn't take over. From that point, he has to go letchilas habracha shetozeh, has to go back to the beginning of that bracha. And what if the first chazan got stuck in the gimel rishaynes or the gimel achraynes before hamelach hakodesh? So then the new chazan has to start all the way from the beginning. We treat the gimel rishaynes as if it's one unit. So the Mishnah Berura says that it, all year long it never happens, but it happens on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Sometimes the Chazan loses his voice. So you have to, and all the piyutim are usually before HaMelech HaKadosh. So then the new Chazan has to start all the way from the beginning. He says, then the Mishnah Berura says, but you don't have to repeat all the piyutim. You were yotze with the piyutim that you said before. Just... we assume that that's a piyut. So that piyut you should repeat. That's also a piyut. So that one line piyut that you should say. That's like the nusach of the Shemana Esrei. But all the famous piyutim, once you said it, you don't have to say it a second time. So that's one thing one has to keep in mind. The Soloveitchik family always used to be medactic about the following, that from the Rambam there is a mashmoyes that even though when a person says the Gemara Sukkah Daf Lamed Ches on the base has a din of Shamea Ke'ena, if I hear somebody recite Kiddush HaHavdalah, I'm Yotze, even though I didn't say Amen, Lachatchila I should answer Amen, Lachatchila I should say Amen, even if you're not being Yotze with the other fellow saying Ashiotzer, Shakal, or Barnefash, whatever, Lachatchila should always say Amen. And if you want to be yotze with the bracha, for sure, lachatchili, you should say amen. Kalahayna amen, kila hoitzi bracha mipiv dami. If you recite amen, it's considered as if you said the bracha. But b'diyev, the Gemara said b'feirish, shomeya ki'ayna. As long as you paid attention to the Kiddush and Havdalah, even if you didn't say amen, you're also yotze the bracha. So from the Ramam, there's a mashmoyes that by Chazaras Hashatz and by Benchim Mizuman, the din would not be so. Not explicit in the Rambam, one can ding zot, but that's how the brisker on the dike from the Loshon HaRambam. That if you don't have people answering Amen to the Chazaras Hashatz, so then you're not yet to the whole Chazaras Hashatz. So the Gemara points out in Masechet Rosh Hashanah that the din in the Mishnah, it's a question whether it's a din deraisa, a din derabbanan. The din is that you have to blow shofar, tkiyas al seder habrachas, after malchus, after zechrinus, and after shofaris. That some Rishonim hold that, Rashi seems to hold that that's a din deraisa, and the Rabbanan Chumash hold that it's clearly a din derabbanan. So that din only applies when it's betzibur. That's a yachid. A person doesn't feel well, he's davening at home. So he should not blow shofar in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz. Not only should he not blow shofar, he shouldn't arrange to have a bal takeh blow for him in the middle of his tefillah belachash. Only betzibur, that's what the Gemara says. The only blow shofar in the middle of the tefillah if it's betzibur. In some shuls, they have the practice of blow shofar in the middle of tefillah belachash also. In most shuls, the practice is the only blow shofar in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz. Tosfos in the end of Rosh Hashanah quotes from the Sefer HaOruch, who writes that practice was that they blow shofar in the middle of tefillah belachash as well, betzibur, but not beyochid. So if one should assume like this, that anias omen is li'ikuva in the Chazaras Hashatz, so then they went one step further, that the Gemara says there's a correct way and there's an incorrect way to answer Amen. A lot of people have the practice, they answer Amen before the Chazan finished the whole bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem, Hamachzor Shchinoso, Amen. He didn't even say the last word yet. And many people have the practice, they say Amen with the last syllable of the Chazan. as in the Mishnah Berurah says that the nigin that we usually sing, the Chazaras HaShatzin, is a very misleading nigin. It misleads the people to answer Amen improperly. How do you say? Kadesh Yisrael Yamazikom. So usually everybody says Amen together with the final syllable of the Chazan, which is not correct. You're supposed to wait till after the Chazan says the last syllable of the bracha and then to say Amen. That's called an Amen Chatufa. If you ate too long, if the Chazan finishes the bracha and then you wait a few seconds and then say Amen, that's called an Amen Yisoyma. You waited too long. It doesn't relate to the bracha like a Yosem. If you answer too fast, it's called an Amen Chatufa. You chap too quickly. So that's a Rav Soloveitchik. Gobi used to make such an announcement every single year before Tkiya Shofar that everyone should answer Amen, but only wait till the Chazan recites the final syllable of the bracha, not to answer Amen Chatufa. So they were all year long. This is a din, this is a problem that people violate, but it poses more so of a problem, poses a bigger problem on Rosh Hashanah, because if you don't have people answering Amen properly, so they worked on the assumption that an improper answering Amen is like, you didn't answer Amen. If you didn't answer Amen, so you're not Yotze Chazaras HaShatz. If you're not Yotze Chazaras HaShatz, then you're not Yotze this din that appears in the Mishnah, either the Takana de Rabbanon or a din de Raisa, that you're supposed to have the Tkiyas al Seder HaBrachas. Tkiyas al Seder HaBrachas means in conjunction with the Chazaras HaShatz. So if you don't have people answering Amen properly, so you don't have a Chazaras HaShatz. So that's why there used to be more Medakdek on Rosh Hashanah than on the rest of the year. I remember in Yeshiva we used to have, instead of the Gottesman Library over here, this big building over here, there used to be three little bungalows there, huts. One was Science Hall, and one wooden hut was Gottesman Library, I think. Something, I already forgot what the other one was. So I remember we used to daven Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we used to have the Talmidim Rabbi Lifshitz in the big basement, which used to have the minyan for the Baal HaBatim. Then they had a big minyan for the Baal HaBatim who only came 3 days a year in the big auditorium. And then the Yeshiva Bachman's minyan was in one of these bungalows, as he used to refer to them, on one of the wooden huts. So one of the rabbis used to walk over from the Bronx, a lot of rabbis, but one of the rabbis used to walk over, Rabbi Fishman, Zechon Lerach. So he was a Talmud of Rav Elbel Soloveitchik. So he, every Rosh Hashanah, he would like, in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei, he would turn around and like lead the audience when they should say Amen. He would make signs, no one, he would wave with his finger, no one should say Amen till the Chazan finishes the last syllable of the bracha. That's he learned by Rav Elbel. Apparently Rav Elbel did the same as Rav Soloveitchik did, and they have it written up from Rav Elbel Soloveitchik, that you have to answer Amen properly. So this is something that we have to educate the Baal HaBatim about. In Kol Nidre, the Rishonim had, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Chayyadim, the Rishonim had two versions where they call Nidre as Hatoras and Dorim, where Mata Neder for the Nidorim that would take me Yom Kippurim Sho'ovar Ad Yom HaKippurim Hazeh. And if it's Hatoras and Dorim, then you have to have Desnav 3, and it has to be Mebod Yom. So at least the first Kol Nidre should be completed before Shkiyah. Once you say one Kol Nidre, it's already enough. The meaning is that we say Mutalach, 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 and Hatoras Namar say three times. Why? Because the Mishnah says the last line in the first parak in Chagiga says, Het and Dorim Parchem Boavir, Vein Lahem Al Meshe Yismocho. That Hatoras and Dorim is pure Torah Shabbal Peh. There's no way to darshan it by reading in between the lines of the Pasuk. Hafara is explicit in the Chumash, but Hatoras and Dorim is only Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, purely transmitted. The Gemara there, the last daf in the first parak in Chagiga, quotes other Tanaim who disagree with the Mishnah. They say, no, Yesh Lamal Meshe Yismocha, there is a means, there are drushes whereby you can read it in between the lines. But the Mishnah claims that Het and Adorim is only Torah Shabbat Peh. So we know that the Karoim never used HaTorah and Adorim. So in order to emphasize that we follow the traditions of the Torah Shabbat Peh, so that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that you say three times, Mutalach, 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 for emphasis. Where do you see that if you say three times, that's for emphasis? So that comes from the Mishnah in Menachas, that it says the Tzedukim, Bizman Baisheni, had the practice that the Ketzira Saima was always on Metzoy Shabbos. In Mochas HaShabbos. And Shavuos was always an extended weekend. Shavuos was always on a Sunday because Sfiras HaYomim began on Sunday through Shabbos, and the 7 weeks were over. So they had an extended weekend. The Gemara says that they said Moshe Rabbeinu Oy Bisol Haya, he loved the Jewish people, and that's why he knew Shavuot is only a one-day holiday. So Moshe Rabbeinu gave the din that Shavuot should always be on a Sunday to have an extended weekend. So the Rabbi Yechimad Zakai said, Apikairis, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't give the din, the Rabbanu Shalom gave the din, and that's not what it means, not an extended weekend. Sometimes it falls out on Sunday, sometimes it falls out on Monday. Machal HaShabbos means the day after Pesach. So because the Tzdukim insisted that Ktziras HaOmer is always done on a Matzoi Shabbos, and whenever Ktziras HaOmer was not done, 6 out of 7 times Ktziras HaOmer was not done on Matzoi Shabbos, 7 days in the week. So most of the time it was not done on Matzoi Shabbos. And the Mishnah says, whenever they would do Ktziras HaOmer and not done on Matzoi Shabbos, so they would always say 3 times. He would say in public, Should I cut the Omer? They would say, everybody would scream out, yes. Should I cut the Omer with this sickle? Yes. Should I bring the Omer today? Yes. So because it was Lahitz and Bili Mishal Azdukim, they did it 3 times. So that's our practice, is that we say Hataras and Dharma 3 times. Lamaisa and the Sidurim, they point out, Baruch Epstein, the author of the Torah Nima, points out in his autobiography, he had the patience to sit and read his autobiography, it's so long with it. So he points out that Lemaisa Bayas, we say Hataras Dharma 9 times. You say, Hakol Mechulim Lecha Hatok, Hakol Mshurim Lecha Hatok, Hakol Mutarim Lecha. Ein Kan Lai Nedov Lo Shavu. So you already said it 3 times. Then you say that 3 times. What do you say, 9 times? No need to say it 9 times. The text as it's printed in the Siddur already has 3 times. So that's the minik to say Kol Nidre 3 times, based on the old minik that Kol Nidre is a Hataras Dharim over the Nedarim that were taken in the last Yom Yom Kippur Shavar Ad Yom Kippur Hazeh. And the Rabbi Natam, and the Rabbi Natam's father, the Rabbi Meir, who was the son-in-law of Rashi, they said that this is a mistake. Kol Nidre is not supposed to be Hataras Nedarim on the Nedarim Shavar. It's based on Gemara Nedarim on the Avchav Beis, that the Tchilas Hashana, a person should get up in the beginning of the year. We do it on Erev Yom Kippur. The Gemara talks about the beginning of the year. No, Erev Yom Kippur is also the beginning of the year. So you should make a declaration, you should make a mysterious maidah, that any nidarm that I'll take in the course of the year should be null and void. So he claims that the text of Kol Nidre should be Loshen Lahabo. Kol Nidre Besarei, which we will take, the Nishba Udeneda, not the Ishtabano, which we have taken. You should say the Nishba Udeneda, which we will take in the future, Yom Kippurim Zeh, Ad Yom Kippurim Habo Leino Letoivo. Any neder we will take starting from this Yom Kippur till next Yom Kippur, we declare now that it should be null and void. So the Chayyodam recommends that the Baal Tefillah should say the both Nischos together. If it's a declaration that the Nedarim we plan to take in the future should be null and void, then there isn't any need to have two people standing next to the Chazan. What does it need a Bezin for? Each person makes a declaration on his own. The only reason why we have two people stand next to the Chazan is because we're choshish for the other version, the other opinion, that it's a hataras and dharm, so you need a bezna of 3. So the Kol Nidre, that's what they usually do in Yeshiva, that's the Mishnah Berurah, quotes that from the Chayyim. You should try to combine the two nuschos together. Right before Kol Nidre, the Magen Avraham quotes from the Shalom that he recommends, and Rav Soloveitchik said his father used to do this in Europe, and when he was in Rabbanus, and he did it in Boston. He said, really, more correct is that everybody should gather together in shul after the Suda Mafsek, it's before Kol Nidre, to recite Vidui in unison. The old tzibur should say, Hashem Nemagad, Ma'achet Shechatanu Lefanecha. Because the Shalom quotes from the Ramban on the Gemara, the end of Yuma, that really, Lefnei Hashem Titoru, Ki Ba'yim Ezech HaPlechem Tarasim Kocha Tesechem. Lefnei Hashem Titoru, so Rabbi Akiva is quoted in the Mishnah as saying, Ashrechem Yisrael lefnei mi atam etarim and mi metar eschem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu purifies us. So lefnei Hashem titar means we will stand in the presence of God and He will purify us. So the Ramban says, but there's another interpretation in the Pasuk, that lefnei Hashem, before you enter into Yom Kippur, when you're in the middle of Yom Kippur, there's a special Hashvas HaShechinah. Immediately prior to Lifnei Hashem Titori, you should purify yourselves. You should recite Vidui before Yom Kippur enters. So really, Mikra Din Deraisa, there's a mitzvah in the Torah to recite Vidui right before you accept the Kedusha Sayyad, before you Mekabel to serve Yom Kippur. So because the Chacham were concerned that someone may come late from the Suda Mafsek, because they may choke, something may come up, so they said, you should recommend, they should say Vidui in Mincha, and they should say Mincha before the Suda Mafsek. Yeah, there isn't supposed to be Mincha in Shul on Erev Yom Kippur right before Kol Nidre. Everyone's supposed to have Davin the Mincha before the Surah Mavsekas. A lot of people, depends where your shul is, a lot of people will not know that, so they'll come to shul thinking it's time to daven mincha. Okay? So you've got to have a minyan for mincha to satisfy them, but you have to try to encourage everybody to follow the takonas chachamim, that you daven mincha before the Surah Mavsekas, and you say vidui at the end of the mincha before the Surah Mavsekas. Then the Ramban says that's as a backup, just in case, Shema Yered Var Karkola B'Suda, maybe they'll come late to shul and they won't be able to say Bidah. But if it turns out everybody came to shul early, on time, you should really tell them when they should come to shul. They should really all say Bidah together, the regular Bidah. Wanted to discuss a little bit about Kiyo Shofar. It's hard to get a Shofar that's possible. Unless they're fooling around, unless they, when it has a hole, you put something in it. But if you don't put something in it, every shofar is kosher. There was a big scandal 20 years ago. There's some guy in Yugoslavia was selling shofars all over the world. And they were marvelous. It blew gewaldig. A child of 6 years old can blow a shofar. It didn't have to exert yourself. So everybody was wondering, how can it be? So he said, simple. He bought a lot of shofars. He melted them all till they were all liquefied, and then he poured them into a mold, and each shofar was exactly the same as the other one. So that's possible. If you melted it and then you had it put it in a mold, that's not possible. So at that time they had to put, and he was selling the shofars in Eretz Yisrael in America all over the world. So then they announced, you're not allowed to buy a shofar unless you have a hechsher. A naizach, you need a hechsher on a shofar? What can go wrong? That can go wrong. So you got to make sure that the shofar, if it's hard to blow, so it's obviously for not from his shofar. But if it's too easy to blow, then you got to check into it. Maybe it's from that one incident. That's a strange thing. In Shulchan Aruch, they write the minig is that the rabbi usually serves as the makri, and he calls out tikiyah shvarim tshuah. He calls out to the Baal Tekeh before he blows. Some chassidishah was so insistent on observing. By Sfarim, they don't have a makri. Stechemin writes. By many Sfarim, they don't have any makri. And other, by chassidim, they're so makbid on the makri, they'll have a makri in the middle of tefillah belachash. By chassidim, they blow sheriff in the middle of tefillah belachash. So they'll have the rabbi will stand next to the chazan, next to the Baal Takeah, and he'll call out tekiyah, shvarim tshuah, in the middle of the shtilah shmanes. The Pashtun says that that's a hefsek, that's not right. So the common practice is, you only have a makri in the Chazaras HaShatz, not in the Shtilah Shmanos. Yeah, the Mishnah Brurah raises an issue. He says the Pashtun says the reason why you have a makri is to make sure that the Baal Tekeh doesn't make a mistake. So where can he make a mistake? On the first Tekiyah. The first Tekiyah is not going to make a mistake. So the Mishnah Brurah thinks that on the first Tekiyah he shouldn't call out. And that's the Ike Hefsek. He said the bracha Shekushana Mimsos Hashem Lashmak Kol Shofar. And then before they start hearing the shofar, the rabbi is appointed as the shegetz to be mapsik, tikiyah. Why is the rabbi talking? The rabbi just making an announcement. No one should talk. So Mishnah Berurah says that if there is no minig, if there's no clear-cut minig, then the rabbi should not be makri the first one. What do you mean there's no clear-cut minig? Minig in all over the world. Of course it's clear-cut. It means if you can get away with it. If you can get away with it, so you should try not to be makri the first one. And he says it based on duchanin. The reason why the Chazan calls out Yevarechecha Hashem Yishmerecha is in order to make sure the Kohanim don't make a mistake. So there's a machlokes whether you should be makri the first word Yevarechecha. You can't make a mistake on the first word. You know the duchnin begins with Yevarechecha, and the reason why our practice is that he does say the first word is because others say that being makri the words over there by the duchnin is not because we're afraid Shema Yitu the Kohanim are going to make a mistake, but rather because that's part of Amar Lahem. Not only should Amar Lahem mean we mitzvah them Kohanim, we should be mitzvah them say Yivarechecha, say Hashem, say Yishmerecha, so that's a tzivui. So that's why we call out, that's why we makri even on the first word. But over here by the Tkiyah Shofar, the Mishnah Berurah things, everyone should agree that you really shouldn't be makri the first one. So that's what I did with the Baal Takeah when I was the rabbi. I spoke to the Baal Takeah in advance. He was a young, sharp, learned fellow. He always came to my weekly shiur. I explained to him the whole Mishnah Berurah, so I thought I explained it well. So I explained, the first tekiyah I'm not going to be makri, the rest I'll be makri. So he blew everything with that. I was happy. I didn't want to be mapsik. I would have been happy not to be mapsik at all. So he blew all the tekiyahs without me being makri. So there was an elderly gentleman there in shul who wanted to fire me. What kind of a rabbi? He doesn't know you have to be makri everything. Like you're not Yaitzeh if you're not Makri. By the Svardim, they're not Makri anything. That's it. But Ashkenazim, the minig is that you're Makri. If you can get away with not being Makri, the first Tikiyos, so Mishnah Berurah recommends you should really try to do that.
Is there not a Hasek after the first set of Tikiyos?
We are Machmer not to be Mapsik till after everything is all over. But the more Chomerdike Hefsik is in between the Bruch and the first Tikiyos. So he says, at least that you should try not to be Makri. The common minik today is, in Broyas this is not the practice, but the common minik today is that after Malchias, the Baltikir blow in the Chazaras HaShatz, he blows Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat. This is very strange. This was only developed by the Shaloh. Shaloh lived in the 1500s. And before the days of the Shalom, it was like from the Wild West. There were so many different minhagim, so many different shitas. In Broyas Ad HaYom HaZeh, they follow the minhag b'shtei yeshivas. They blow Tashrat after Malchias once, Tashat after Zechronis once, and Tarat after Shofas once. But you have to find out what the minhag in the shul is. Most places they follow the minhag of the Shalom. They blow Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat after each one. How long does the tkiya have to be? So the Mishnah says, Shia tkiya ki shia trua. So what does that mean? So that's a machlek, is the Rambam and everybody else, quoted in Shulchan Aruch. So the Rambam says, the tkiya before and the tkiya after, together, should be the length of the trua. So how long is the trua? 9 times. So the tkiya should be 5 seconds, the amount of time that it takes to blow 5 trumit, and the tkiya after should be 5 trumit. That's not the common accepted opinion. We usually assume each tkiya, not the both tkiyas together, should be. Each tkiya should be kishir chua. So if the chua is going to be 9 times, it's going to be shvarim chua, that's going to be the time that it takes to blow 18 chumitin, 9 times for chua and then for shvarim. So then the tkiya has to be so long. So you have to insist, you have to get the Baal Tekeh to practice that you should blow. On Tashrat, you should blow very long tkiyas. If it's too long, it doesn't pass. But too short, it will pass. So that we have to insist. That the Baal Tekeh has to blow longer tkiyas by Tashrat. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote a major machlokes HaRishonim. It's a look at the end of Masechet Sukkah. It's a big discussion. The Miri has a long discussion there. Then in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, you have the Rosh has the discussion. In the Gemara Rashi and Tosfos, you won't find it. But the other Mishnah quote this whole discussion, whether when you blow Tashrat, Shvarim Chuvah, should it be B'Neshim Achas or should it be B'Shtei Neshimas? So the Mechaber quotes the compromise that you should do half B'Neshim Achas and half B'Shtei Neshimas. So the tkiyas that you blow before Musaf should be one way, and the tkiyas in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei should be the other way. That's the common practice. There are more rites, not so. There are more rites that the minig is that they did everything B'Shtei Neshimas. Soloveitchik had the minig just the reverse. He had everything B'Neshim Achas, and then at the end he blew, instead of to be Mashlim, the Meir Koilas, instead of blowing Tashrat Tashat Tarat, he would blow Tashrat 3 times B'Shtei Neshimas. He blew 102 Koilas. Okay, but that's not the common practice. Common practice is that they blow, the Baal Tekeh should blow, everybody knows that Baal Tekeh blows half of the tkiyas before, after Maftir, before they start davening Musaf, he blows those one way, either B'Neshim Achas or B'Shtei Neshimas. The middle of Chazar Sashat, he blows the other. What exactly does it mean B'Neshim Achas? So the Mishnah Berurah claims that it does mean you blow two. No, he says you have to pause a little bit. B'Neshim Achas means you don't breathe in air, but you have to blow two. Pause for a second, for a moment, and then blow two. Chazanish is masik on the Mishnah Berurah. He says, where did he get that from? It's totally wrong. Of course, B'Neshim Achas means you blow b'koyach echad. You shouldn't pause at all. So there are different opinions. Whatever you do, you're okay. Okay. There is a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. How many truas do you blow? So Rashi's opinion is two. Three. That's all. Three truas. Three trumit. And Tosfos has the famous opinion that you blow two, 9 times. So we follow Tosfos' shita. The shaila comes up, the chayyadim said, the shaila comes up like this. Let's say if you're blowing tkiyas and you were mafsik with a kol that didn't belong. You blow tkiyah, Shvarim, then in the middle you blow a kol that didn't belong. Another Shvarim, a second time, you blow a truah that didn't belong over there. So there's a machlekes harishayim. The Rabbeinu Tam holds that it doesn't passel b'di'eved. The Gemara talks about the hepsik kol acher. The Gemara means lachatchili shouldn't allow it, but b'di'eved it wouldn't pose a problem. But we are machmer against the Rabbeinu Tam. We hold that if you have a hepsik kol acher that didn't belong, so that passels. It's not called the tkiel lefanel. It's not called the pshuta lachrel. So in Shulchan Aruch they give the following case. Let's say the Baal Tekeh blew tkiel, then he blew trua, then he blows a second time trua. So the second truah didn't belong. He already blew the first truah. So he can't just blow tkiyah at the end. He has to start all over again from the beginning of the line. So what happens if he blew tkiyah? Then he starts blowing a truah and it didn't work. He was niskal. So in Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is that niskal, if he attempted to make a truah, it didn't work. So it fell flat on its face. So that doesn't count. Whenever niskal, whenever he just slipped and it didn't work out, so it's not considered a hepsikolach. Rabbi Soloveitchik always used to make the Baal Tekeh blow over. When I was niskal, he made him go all the way back to the beginning. He used to confuse the whole oil. He didn't know what was going on. The Baal Tekeh would blow tkiyah, shvarim. He didn't know what's going on. He was always going back to the first tkiyah. He didn't like the way that he did the shvarim, so he told him to go back all the time, niskal. But in Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion, that's the common practice all over the world, that niskal doesn't count. So here the Chayyadim has a shayla. Let's say the Baal Tekeh blows tkiyah. Then he blows trua, then he blew three koilas, and then it got stuck. So according to Rashi, you already have a trua. So you should blow the tkiyach reina. According to Taisus, you have to have nine koilas, nine times. But according to Rashi, you're going to blow another trua now. So you blew tkiyah, trua, tkiyah. So you have a hefse kol acher. So the Chayyadim thinks that you should be choshev for shitas Rashi. Then in such a case, you should go back to the beginning of the line. Others even paskin like Rashi. The Galya Masechta was a Rav Navardik during the lifetime of Rav Chaim Volozhin. He thinks that the din is like Rashi. He thinks if you pass it's enough with three trumit, you don't need nine trumit. But that's a shadow that comes up once in a while. If you blew a trua, you only made three trumit, you didn't make nine, do you consider that niskal? And you just blow over the trua, do you have to be choshish for shitas Rashi? So the Chayyadim has the Chiddush. Maybe on the first day Rosh Hashanah is their rice, and maybe it should be Choshev Shishtitz Rosh. The second day Rosh Hashanah is only the Rabbanon, so he's Mekel. First day is their rice, so he wants to be Mekel.
Under what circumstances would you consider the Maisa? Is a Rav going to be telling
the
Baal
Tekeh
to repeat something?
Maisa? The din is Kol HaKodesh Ksherim, even if it's a screechy key or a normal tkiyah, even though it's different tones, it's good, but only provided that it sounds like the kol is supposed to sound like. I remember Rabbi Soloveitchik had in Maimonides, he had a Baal Tekeh, it wasn't so great at times. He had different Baal Tekeh. So once he didn't like it, he made him blow over. So they asked him after the davening, but it says kol HaKodesh Ksherim B'Shofar, whether it's a deep or a baritone or whatever, all the kodes are good. So he says, yeah, but it shouldn't sound like a dog barking. That's a Loshon HaGemara. When a person hears tkiyas and he thinks that it's a dog bark, so he says, the way he blew it sounded like a dog barking. He said, that's not included in Kol HaKodesh. Kol HaKodesh Ksherim B'Shofar means that it's screechy or this, but it has to sound like a tkiyah. It has to sound like a tkiyah. Also, our minig is that we blow Mea Kodesh. So after the Chazaras HaShatz is over, we add on a lot of tkiyas. So the Magen Avraham says, the Mishnah Berurah quotes that on the tkiyas in the end, after the Chazaras HaShatz is all over, that you're just blowing to be mashal Mea Kodesh, you're not machzer over there. You never machzer over there. Unless you're afraid, sometimes the Rabbanim are afraid that we weren't really yotzer with the tkiyas that they blew. Some of them are no good, so we're going to need some of them for later on to be yotzer. If that's the case, that's your last chance. So you've got to make them blow over again. But if you know that everything before was legit, everything was okay, and you're just blowing after the Chazaras HaShatz to be mashal and Mea Kodesh, so then the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham that you're not machzer on that. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Prima Gadim that a lot of times the Baal Tekeh have a practice which is improper, but a lot of times they can't control themselves. They blow, then it comes to the last one, and it sounds like a Shvarim. So the Prima Gadim is choshish, that that's not good. You're stuck in a Shvarim when it didn't belong. So you have to work with the Baal Tekeh that you should practice doing trua without having any without having any shvarim at the end. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has in his Chulis in the Har Tzvi an interesting discussion. Our practice is that the Baal Tekeh blows in shul, and then later on he goes to the private home and he blows for the old ladies, or he goes to the old age home, he goes to the hospital, he blows for other people. How can he blow? He was already yotzi in shul. He's not mechuyev bedover, mishenim mechuyev bedover. And he motzi asurab mevdechav vasim. So the Gemara says that yotzo motzi, even though he himself was yotzi already. Kol yisrael arev mezev. Is that Rashi and all the Rishonim say? So he can be motzi the other. So the Shad, what if it's in the reverse? The Baal Tekeh wants to blow in the hospital before he goes to shul. The shul davens at 9 o'clock in the morning instead of davening at 6:30 in Shacharis on Rosh Hashanah. The shul was davening at 9 o'clock in the morning, so he wants to blow for the sick people first, but he doesn't want to be yotzei there. He wants to be yotzei tkiyas al seder abrachas. So is that acceptable? The Baal Tekeh should blow first for the private people, having in mind that he doesn't want to be yotzei inside the other people yotzei. So Rav Tzvi Frank has all true. He says it's the exact same thing. It doesn't make a difference whether the Baal Tekeh blows for them second or first. It's all based on kol yisrael arev mezev. It's just as good. It doesn't make a difference. Yeah, we were talking about davening before, so I failed to mention an important halacha. The Gemara Brachas has a din, like Satanayim. We paskin like this, that if it's Rosh Chodesh or Shabbos afternoon, and it's time to daven Musaf and Mincha, and I want to daven both, so that, let's say, Bichidus, I don't have a minyan, I'm in the hospital, home, whatever. I'm going to daven Musaf and Mincha. It's now the time to daven both Musaf and Mincha. So I should first daven Mincha and then daven Musaf, because Torah B'Shein and Torah Kod. Mincha you daven every day. Musaf is only once in a long while. More correct is you should avoid such a situation. You're supposed to daven Musaf. All the Karbonos are supposed to be brought in the Beis Hamikdash, sandwiched in between the Tomash HaShach and Tomash HaVein HaBay. So the Chatchila, more correct is, let's say a lot of people come to shul late on Shabbos morning. They come in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, so they listen to Kriyas HaTorah, and then when the Chazan davens Musaf, they daven Musaf. Then after Musaf, they make up Shacharis that they didn't daven yet. So that's not really right lachatchila. You're not supposed to daven Musaf before Shacharis. Just like in the Beis Hamikdash, you're supposed to bring the Tomas HaShachar first, Tomas HaBen Arba'im and last. So you shouldn't do it. But the Yevet, if you daven Musaf before Shacharis, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaba and the Ramah, they both repeat the same din. Chavar Amah both write the din that you yotze, because in the Beis Hamikdash proper, if they would have brought karbonos before the Tomei, they would have brought the Masaf before the Tomei Shal Shachar, but the Yevra would be good. So the same by Musaf and Mincha. More correct is you should avoid such a situation, because in the Beis Hamikdash, she's supposed to bring the Tomei Shal Ben Abayim last. So the Mincha should really be last. But if it's late, if it's the afternoon already, and it's time to daven Musaf and Mincha, so you should daven first Mincha and then Musaf, because Torah B'Shem and Torah Kod. So the Rambam quotes a machlokes of Rishonim, rare that the Rambam quotes. Usually the Rambam just writes one sheet. So the Rambam quotes a machlokes of Rishonim, and the Shulchan Aruch they quote, do you do that with Tzibur? That's in Shul on Yom Kippur. And now it's time to start davening Musaf. They see it's already Zman for Shacharis. It's already after 1:30. They dilly-dallied so long. It's already time, Higiyah Zman to daven Mincha. So that's a machlokes of Rishonim. So some Rishonim say, you don't do that with Tzibur. You're going to just sit today, though. They don't know. They won't know what's going on. You're going to tell everybody to daven Mincha first, then to daven Musaf. That's not the way it's printed in the Siddur. So some Rishonim hold you don't do it with Tzibur. Others hold you do it even with Tzibur. So to make sure you don't get involved, so the poskim say, you should make sure that you start to daven Musaf before this Zman Mincha. Don't wait till it's already 1:30. Make sure that you start to daven Musaf before. Even in many shuls that make a lot that, they follow those who show them that Bitsibu you don't sidere the oilam, so you don't daven Musaf, you don't daven Mincha before Musaf, but you still have to be careful. You have to at least start Musaf before the end of Shor Shviz. One Tana rebuted the Mishnah in Brachas is of the opinion that you're not allowed to daven Musaf after Shor Shviz. And even though we don't paskin like that, but the Gemara says lechatchila we do hold like that. That if one davens Musaf, they have to Shor Shviz. Shor Shviz is an hour after Chatzos. Let's say Chatzos now is about 1 o'clock, so 2 o'clock approximately. Approximately 2 o'clock is the end of Shor Shviz. So Rabbi Yudah says, so lechatchila, if one will daven Musaf after Shor Shviz, he's nikri posheya. So we do it all the time. The Chazan is going to be davening away Musaf 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. It's going to take him a long time. till he finishes Musaf. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Prima Gadim. We go Basar Ascholas Atfila. Since, but you have to make sure that at least you start davening Musaf before the end of Shor Shviz. It's not right to wait so long. I remember on one occasion in my father's shul, they used to have the practice that the chazan used to get dressed up with this fancy black hat with the gown. I used to start saying Hinani Hani Mimas. It was a long shul. I used to start, this is a common practice years ago, it was a whole dramatic presentation. The chazan would start singing Hinani Hani by the door, and then he would walk up to the front. It would take at least 20 minutes, a whole production. So they were going so late, they were running so late from the Kriyas HaTorah, the Misha Beros, and everything. My father said they have to cut out Hinani. They have to start Musa right away. The Balabatim are ready to drop dead. How can you cut out Hinani? That's like called Nidre. Something. That's one of the most important things. It's one of the most insignificant parts of the Dhamma. Hinani Hari Mas. But the Rabbanim have to tell a Gabbai when you want to start the Musaf. V'chatchili should start Musaf before the Zman HaMincha. And if they didn't make it before the Zman HaMincha, they should at least start Musaf before the end of Shor Shviz, that's for sure. I've got to say a few words about the fasting on Yom Kippur. The Mishnah only permits one to eat on Yom Kippur when there's a suffix sakana or a sfek sfek of a sakana. A chol shein b'sakana is not permitted to eat on Yom Kippur. On other tainus tzibur, we do allow it. The Otzar Harav published about 10 volumes of Rashis of Rav Soloveitchik, so they have a volume on Tisha B'Av. So they have there, I think on page 2 or 3, that Tisha B'Av is like Yom Kippur, only chol sheyesh b'sakana is permitted to eat. Chodesh Em Sakana is not allowed to eat. So this, I don't know. I'm sure Rabbi Soloveitchik said it, that these are transcriptions of the drushas that he gave. But I'm sure he never passed them like that. That's not the accepted din. The Shulchan Aruch, it says in the Shulchan Aruch that Chodesh Em Sakana is permitted to eat on Tisha B'Av. The Taz argues that we shouldn't follow the Shulchan Aruch, and the Taz's opinion has not been accepted on this matter. The only time you need a Chodesh Em Sakana, a suffix sakana, sfeik sfeik, is on Yom Kippur when you're dealing with a din derais. And this suffix sakana doesn't have to be a sakana miyad. It could be a sakana that the person was talking to me. His wife had serious cancer. It was clear she was going to die. If she would fast on Yom Kippur, she wouldn't die within a week. But it would weaken her and she was going to die earlier than otherwise. So that's also called a suffix sakana. It's balabas. He's already remarried. This Balabas would tell me he couldn't understand that the Rabbanim didn't tell his wife that she eat on Yom Kippur. Of course he eat on Yom Kippur. That's also called Pikuach Nefesh. Chai Shor. It's also called Pikuach Nefesh. The woman was functioning. She had a whole bunch of children. She was davening every day. She was a religious woman. That's also called the Safek Sakana. So that doesn't mean you're going to die on the spot. You're going to die within 24 hours. You're going to die earlier than otherwise. It's also called Safek Sakana. The Gemara says in the end of Yuma that if you have a person has a suffix sakana, so pikoch nefesh is derech kol atarakula, so we allow him to eat the treifis, chazer, tevel, whatever non-kosher food. So the Gemara said, what if he has, during the war years, when the Jews were under the Nazis, so they had no choice in Siberia, they had no choice to eat the non-kosher food. So the Gemara has a rule, machilam osa hakal hakal tchilam. If you have, let's say, chelev, if you eat chelev, it's an isa koris. If you eat mevela, it's an isa lav. So the Gemara says, if you can eat either one or the other, that'll be enough to save your life. So don't violate the Issa Karis, just violate the Issa Lav. Machilam Osa Hakala Kal Tchilam. So it's usually assumed that when you have a Cholo Sheyesh B'Sakana has to eat on Yom Kippur, so if you can eat Pachas Mikishi, if you eat less than a Shir, so then it's an Issa Deraisa, we pass him like Rabbi Yechon, Chatzi Shir Os Manatar, but there's no Karis. So rather than have him eat a whole meal B'Vasachas, have meat a little bit, you wait a few minutes, and you have meat a little bit more later on. That's called pachas b'kshir. So that's the common practice that you always have, that they eat pachas b'kshir. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say, and he published this in his essay that he wrote when his father passed away. So he wrote the essay, Isha Halacha. That's a description of his father. That was basically the hesped that he delivered when his father passed away. If you read the hesped that he delivered when his uncle passed away, the many sections are mamash identical. He's describing his uncle the same way he described Avodah, the same way he described his father. So he writes in his Isha Halacha that when his father took his first Rabbanis, Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, his father, made him promise to him that he won't pass him like them. That on Yom Kippur, if you have a Chodesh Eish B'Sakana, you tell him to eat regular meals, you shouldn't have Pachas Mikishim. And he made him shake his hand, and promised with the Tkias Kaf. Why? So this was the Psak HaMekubal and Valojan Yeshiva. The Netziv was the Rosh Yeshiva Valojan for the last 39 years. The Yeshiva lasted for 90 years, from 1801 to 1891, then it was closed. So the Netziv was the Rosh Yeshiva the last 39 years. So he wrote this commentary on the Shultas when he was 17 years old or something like that. So he writes that he heard from Rabbi David Tebel. Rabbi David Tebel was the one who wrote the Nachlas Dovin on Baba Kamba Baba Messiah. He was from the original group of Talmidim of Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner. Rabbi David Tebel told him that there's a psak from the days of Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner like this. People think Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik invented it. Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, that was the psak HaMekubal in Volozhiner. Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik married the granddaughter of the Netziv. So that was the psak in the Yeshiva. And it says in the Mishnah Berurah like that, quotes the Magen Avraham, that if you have a Yoledes within the first 3 days is considered a Chodesh She'esh B'Sakana, even if she doesn't say Tzrichani. Then the next 4 days she's considered, if she says Tzrichani, then she's considered a Chodesh She'esh B'Sakana. So the Magen Avraham says, whenever you have a Chodesh She'esh B'Sakana, you don't tell him, Machilam Oso Pachas Pachas Mikishir. Give him regular meals. So that's not the commonly accepted psak, because the Mishnah Berurah rejected it in Hilchas Shabbos. The Mechaber writes in Hilchas Shabbos, Mechaber quotes a Magen Mishnah. When you have a Cholah sheyesh bo sakana, and you have to do things to save his life, not only are you committed to do the things that are actually going to save his life, you do like you would normally do on a weekday. You take care of kol tzarachov to make it more comfortable for him. You're permitted to be Mechal Shabbos to take care of Kol Tzarach. So there's a long Bir Halacha, very long Bir Halacha in Mishnah Berurah, where he quotes all the Achrayim disagree that you shouldn't follow this Magen Mishnah. There is no such thing of Kol Tzarach. So Rav Elbel Soloveitchik has a whole essay in his Sefer where he quotes his father Rav Chaim, that if I remember all the kashas of the Bir Halacha, that they're talking about different cases. When you actually have a Cholish Eish B'Sakana, we follow the Magen Mishnah, he says, you do Kol Tzarachim. So that's what he said. That's the issue on Yom Kippur. We have a Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana. So normally you would tell a person, what would he do if it would be a weekday? He would eat a little nibble and wait 9 minutes, they need another nibble. No, he would eat a regular meal. So that's included in Kol Tzarachim. So Rav Chaim thought that we should paskin, that was the tradition of Avoshin. You paskin on Shabbos Kol Tzarachim. So fasting on Yom Kippur, you're passing Kol Tzarach, and the Chodesh should eat a regular meal. The Mishnah Berurah rejected the Magen Mishnah and the Hilchos Shabbos, so that's why the common practice is on Yom Kippur that you insist that all of the patients should eat Pachas Pachas Mekashir if that's feasible.
Was Chaim Shita with regards, did he say this with regards to Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana, or also with regards to Safek Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana? Is it both, or...
No, I think it's only Chodesh. He already is a Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana. It's a Safek Na. Safek Na. And if he's not a Chodesh, just we are afraid if he's going to fast, he will become deathly sick. So then we say you should eat Pachas Pachas Mekashir. But if he already is in the state of Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana, then you have this good. Medina the Gemara says that pregnant women and nursing mothers have to fast on Yom Kippur and even have to fast on Tisha B'Av. In Eretz Yisrael, they say the climate is such that if you'll tell them to fast, they can go into labor and they can lose the baby sometimes. Okay? So if you have a rabbanus in Eretz Yisrael, you got to find out. Got to figure out how you're going to deal with it. I remember I was once listening to the radio on Mitzoy Yom Kippur. So they had a doctor made a medical comment. So he said, the Jews discovered the secret years ago, how to fast. In order not to become dehydrated, they have chicken soup before the fast. He said, we just finished the fast of Atonement, Yom Kippur, and he's explaining that if you have chicken soup, if you drink a lot of water, so you can still become dehydrated. But if you drink chicken soup, it has a lot of salt in it. So if you drink very salty water, it makes you thirsty. But if you drink salty chicken soup, the salt will help the body retain the water for longer. So he said, the Jews figured out the secret a long time ago. That's it. Pregnant women and nursing mothers, you have to tell them to drink a lot before. Tell them to drink a lot of chicken soup, whatever the case happens to be. I remember once I didn't feel well, so I said I went to Dr. Muller. He was a holy tzaddik. So I remember he asks me, where do you daven? He looks at me, saw what I had, then he says, where do you daven? So I said, I daven in this minyan over here. He said, you should daven at home. because you're going to daven in that minyan, and that's a very narrow room, and you're probably going to faint, and a good Samaritan is going to give you a drink of water. You have no heter to drink. So listen to me, just daven at home and you'll be okay. So I daven at home. Sometimes you have to tell Baal HaBatim, they should daven at home and rest in bed all day. That's not a heter. They should go to shul and knock themselves out, and then they become a chodesh esh b'sakan. Tell them to daven at home. That's what they once asked Rav Soloveitchik. Unfortunately, this shaila comes up every so often. What do you do if the chazan has a medical condition and he has to eat on Yom Kippur? Is he allowed to daven for another? He's not doing anything wrong, so Rav Soloveitchik said, no, you shouldn't allow him to daven for another. He's going to daven for another and he's going to get exhausted. This will require of him he should eat more. So he said he has no heter to eat more. He only has a heter to eat what he needs in order to keep him alive. He has no heter to eat more in order to have koyach, in order to daven for another. This is a shaila that comes up every so often. A lot of people have this pitgam amami, especially by the Yekkes, but a lot of others have it as well. About chinuch habonim, when do you start training little children to fast on the taneisim? So they say the last three taneisim before it becomes bar mitzvah. Whatever the last three fast days have to do. So this is incorrect. The Mishnah Berurah quotes Haskamas Haposkim that there's no chinuch for fasting on Tisha B'av. Asar B'Teves, some Gedal Yira, the kid is going to be bar mitzvah tomorrow. He doesn't have to fast the day before. There's even a diun in the Avni Nezer. What if the kid is bar mitzvah on Yudov, and Tisha B'av falls out on Shabbos, and everybody's fasting on Sunday Yudov? So the Avni Nezer has a pilpul. Is fasting on Yudov on Sunday a tashlomen for yesterday? So yesterday he was a katan. So yesterday was Shabbos, he was a katan. He wasn't mechuyif to fast. So he doesn't have to fast on Yudov. Even everybody else is fasting, he's ready by mitzvah. The Torah tashlumen for yesterday. But he's saying, no. When Tisha B'av falls out on Shabbos, the Ika Takana was that you fast on Sunday. So since the kid is by mitzvah on Yudov, so you should fast. Even at Kedekach, there's a pilpul in the Nezah with the dinners. But we assume there's no chinuch for fasting on Tisha B'av and some Gedalia, and some Rebbe, only fasting on Yom Kippur. And the Gemara explains the Mishnah as follows, that 2 years before bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, a girl is from the age of 10, because the girl becomes bas mitzvah 12. So 2 years before bar mitzvah, 2 years before bas mitzvah, if they're healthy enough. In America, most of the children are very young. So 2 years before they should fast the whole day, and 2 years before, 2 years before they should fast the half a day. And before that, you shouldn't allow them, even the kids, like a lot of children like to show that I fasted the whole day, half a day. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, you shouldn't permit them to fast that they shouldn't get sick. But 2 years before bar mitzvah, they should really fast the whole day if they're healthy enough to. 2 years before that, they should fast part of the day, into the day. But there's no chinuch on the other tanais. Tainus Esther is a question. Whether there's chinuch, because Tainus Esther is not a tainus of Avelis, it's a tainus of Simcha. By the Yoledes, we said the first 3 days after the birth, she has the status of a chodesh esh b'sakana, even if she doesn't say tzvichane. And the next 4 days, only if she says tzvichane. So the question is, how do you measure these 3 days and the 7 days? Are they measured me'es le'es? She gave birth 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the evening. So you go till 7 o'clock in the evening, 7 days later, or do you say no? Once it comes shkir, that's the end of the first day, next day, and so on. So the Mechaber Paskin is like the Trumas Adeshin, that it doesn't go me'es le'es. And many Paskin disagree. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Yeshua Siyakib, the Hameka lo hipsit. I think that's the common practice. That people do go meis leis. If she gave birth at 7 o'clock in the evening, so then you go meis leis to count the 3 days and to count the 7 days. You have to figure out exactly how much is a maloy lugmov. Maloy lugmov is a rubber bees by an autumn bedini. And how much is a koseves agasim? Koseves agasim, if you have an egg cup that contains an egg, so that's always less than a koseves agasim. So whatever you can stuff into an egg cup, that's really allowed to eat. And then if you're waiting, pachas mekashir, if you're waiting for the achilas pras, and then it's a question of how long is that? And the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chassam Sofer, who says 9 minutes. So there are those who say much more than 9 minutes, those who say much less. The Pashtus says it's much less than 9 minutes. Okay, if you can follow the Mishnah Berurah's avarigut, so you have pachas mekashir, wait 9 minutes and leave. These are issues that the rabbi has to be concerned about. Which Baal HaBatim are not allowed to fast on Yom Kippur? Old Rabbi Breuer, Zechon Lebracha, who died at the age of 98, used to make house calls when he was 95, used to go visit the old Baal HaBatim, who were also approximately his age, and Aseres made sure he told him, you're not allowed to fast. You have to tell people sometimes you're not allowed to fast. People feel uncomfortable. So you have to tell them that just like it's a mitzvah for the healthy people to fast, so too it's a mitzvah for the people who are not up to it, that they're not allowed to fast. People shouldn't. I know there's a woman tells me that she, I never knew, tells me she had cancer, and she takes medication every day. She has to take the medication with food. But Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, she never takes the medication. I said, are you crazy? She says, I'm still here. She's still alive. I said, you're doing wrong. You're supposed to eat on Yom Kippur also. She says, she outsmarted the doctors. I don't think that's smart, to outsmart the doctors. If the doctor says that it's a suffix sakonim, so you have to eat and you have to take the medication. So this is the rabbi's responsibility to make house calls and to insist on the older people and the people who have a medical condition that they have to eat on Yom Kippur, provided that's a suffix sakonim. Agmar Simatayo, Ksir Rach Simatayo.